Hey, Dan.
This is Ryan, for sure.
Morning, Chris. This is Aaron.
Hi, Aaron. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Andy's off climbing mountains in Montana, so he asked me to cover for this month's meeting. So starting off, I think the last time HMT met was back in December. And I don't know if Andy got any comments from any folks, so we'll just kind of leave that open until he gets back in that regard. And we can approve those minutes probably at the same time as we approve these. Moving on to action items, the Willamette Hatchery Broodstock Pond. On the agenda, it says no action. I'm not sure what was reported out back in December. The only thing I know at this point is it is in the 2020 budget as a line item. I do not recall if it's in the 2019 budget. Any questions on that first action item?
Yeah, Chris, this is Ryan. I've got a quick question for you on that. You mentioned it was on a line item on the 2020 budget. Any rough idea of what we're looking at? I mean, I think when that project was scoped back in 2012, Dan, help me if I missed something, but you know, we were looking at north of $5 million back in 2012. So I'd have to think the way things work, you know, we're probably looking at a $10 million project at today's dollar.
Right.
Any sense of what that budget line might look like?
Right. So going off of memory, and it could be totally inaccurate, but I believe we used that document that ODF&W put together as the basis for the cost estimate. And like you said, I believe that was $5 million. I know in the past we talked about trying to split it up and phase it somehow. And that might be a way of being a little more successful in terms of getting something done versus nothing done if we try to go for the whole thing. And I'm not sure where that left off. Maybe it just kind of got dropped because we were all so busy. But it might be something worth revisiting.
Time we talked about it at HMT, and I'm looking at the December notes, and there was really no update in December, so it must have been prior to that. You know, I think Andy mentioned that for, I don't remember if it was 2019 or 2020 budget, he thought there might be a couple $100,000.
Okay.
You know, quite frankly, doesn't do a whole lot. Maybe gets us some, you know, somebody to look at the design work to date, wrap up the design, and maybe produce some construction drawings, but in terms of on the ground work, I'm not sure that really gets swings the pendulum much, but
right.
But I think we should keep talking about it.
Okay. I will follow up on that and verify what that number is in the budget. And then also, I think if we want to revisit that phasing discussion that we had, you know, I don't remember when, a few months back anyway. Maybe we should next month. All right. Anything
else?
Sounds
good to me. Anything? Andy, any other thoughts on that, Dan?
No, I think you covered it. I think originally it was like $5.6 million back in 2012. And so, I mean, we're, like you said, we're probably looking at a $10 million bill now.
Okay. The next item on there, on the agenda, it says Lieberg property transfer, and there was an action that a letter from our real estate office would be sent to ODF&W. And I do not know if that has been sent or not, and I don't know what the content of that letter would have in it. I don't know if any folks have any other insight from previous meetings or discussion with Andy or anyone else.
Yeah, so this is Ryan. So we did get a letter from, I think it was from Oliver King in your realty shop to Scott and myself, that was essentially a notice of intent to lease, and that's helpful, quite frankly. So I think that letter that the agenda is referring to was received by ODFW a month or so ago, and then it sounds like you may not have the answer, Chris, but I guess my question would be sort of what's the next step in terms of a lease agreement, or kind of where are we in the process?
Okay, yeah, I guess that'll be a kind of a follow-up action item for myself or Andy to get back to you on kind of what the next steps are, where we're at with that.
Thanks.
Excuse me, guys. This is Doug Garlis. I joined you. It was garbled. I just want to let you know I was on here. Thanks.
Hey, Doug. All right. Next item, the Minto and Foster trucks. Transfer of ownership back to the Corps. They would be provided as government furnished property under the existing contract to ODFNW. Where that is at is there was an amendment to the existing MOA that was signed by both parties, ODFNW and the Corps. The next step on that was to sign the titles or locate the titles initially so that we could put federal plates on those. Those titles actually had been sent from ODFNW back to the Corps as the Corps was listed as the lien holder. So we had the titles, in theory, we had the titles in hand. However, I could not locate the original title. So I was able to locate a digital copy, and somehow, some way, I'm not sure how, we were able to use that to get federal plates. So I'm just waiting from our logistics office to get those federal plates, and more than likely we'll drive those down or send them to you folks so we can install them on the trucks that both Minto and Foster. I just sent our logistics office today a reminder to get timing on that, and as soon as I do, I'll let you guys know. Any questions on fish trucks?
So, Chris, once the new federal plates are installed, then is that the, I guess, so two steps maybe. The federal plates are installed, and then the contract is modified to state that those are government furnished properties. Are those the last two sort of action items?
Right. And what I don't know, and we'll need to follow up, is how the registration part works, because right now they're... I assume they're in some sort of registration or some sort of database with the state, since they did have state plates on them. But I think just a follow-up would be making sure that that's off of ODFNW's books somehow, some way. And I think that's the last step after the plates are on, the contract is modified, and then what I just stated, the last step, getting them off of the state's books. All right, moving on to updates. Marion Forks Minto.
I'm sure Chris is up plowing snow. I talked to him earlier. They got about 8 or 10 inches of new snow, and I'm assuming it's still snowing. So everything's going well up there. Still having problems with two ponds with some late BKD. Those are safe fish. Hoping to pond fish maybe next week or the week after. So everything up there is good. Down at Minto, we released half of our smolts last week. The flows came down low enough that we could get fish out. They went out pretty well. Within 48 hours, they were all gone. So we're having problems with power outages and pumps not working. They solved the pump free issue. Unfortunately, last night starting at about 4, we had about 5 power outages in an hour. And for some reason, when they would kick on, only 2 of the 5 pumps would kick on. The other ones were available. But generally, when you're asking for water, the 3rd or 4th pump will kick on. And for some reason, that did not happen last night. So, unfortunately, the Detroit crew, most everybody's down in California working. So, we're hoping maybe next week they'll come down and try to figure that out. So, other than that, everything's good here.
All right. Any questions for Greg? Moving on to South Sanium and Foster.
We completed all the summer steelhead spawning a couple weeks ago. So we killed off the remaining broodstock. And then we did a facility shutdown for annual maintenance. And then Fenton had to do some work to some of their antennas for some of his research projects. So that's all has been completed. And then the facility was watered back up again. At least the ladder is watered back up again. And so we're trapping again and have not seen any winter steelhead as of yet. All the summer steelhead allocations have been met and shipped to the respective facilities and ourselves. We've ponded our summer steelhead fry, and pathology was out last week and examined them, and they all look good. We've had to kind of, with the weather, we've gone around and re-winterized things again, both at Foster and at the hatchery, so shouldn't have any problems there. And then we've also hired a temp employee, Josh Williams, and he'll be with us until July, and then hopefully we can go ahead and pursue hiring filling that permanent staff that was left open from Pace retiring this winter. And other than that, just routine maintenance and cleanup for us.
All right, thanks, Brett. Any questions for Brett? Moving on to the McKenzie. Is Kurt on, or Ryan, are you taking that?
Yeah, I'm on.
Oh, hey, Kurt.
Hey, hi, guys. We released our first spring release, the last couple of days of January there. 201,500 plus went out to the McKenzie on good flows at that time. And since, flows have dropped out tremendously, as everybody knows, all across the state probably. But I think that group got out on a pretty good flow, so we're hopeful for that release. We did take 19,800 excess smolts over to the Rowell River for the Coast Fork. Those went out also, I don't have the date here in front of me, but anyway, the second week of February, I believe. We're preparing our storage building for hydrogen peroxide storage with Homeland Security. We have a meeting with them for a compliance meeting coming the first week of March. So we're getting some things done there. We have alarm doors, change locks, motion lights, and things like that. So we hope it'll be up to speed for that for storage there in Homeland Security's eyes. Pretty much maintenance and regular fish culture duties the rest of the time. But, a little bit of snow on the ground today, like everybody, but things are going well.
All right, any questions for Kurt? Moving on, any update on the cougar trap, Chad?
Yeah, not a lot to report. They've got they put the new pumps or the rebuilt pumps back in, so the facility should be ready to operate once we get that big rock slide cleared up above by the reservoir. Haven't heard a time frame on that yet, but still hoping by April sometime. There was an article in the Register Guard last week, I think, that said it was up to 6 months, so let's hope that's not the case. Other than that, they finally got Unit 2 operating, so both units are operating up there and available. That's all I really have.
So, are all of our pumps operational now?
Yes.
Okay. Any other
questions? We've got enough pumps in to operate the facility, and then I think the one pump that was leaking at the end of the season, that's going to currently get, or it's out, and will get rebuilt soon, so we'll have a backup or a spare.
Okay. Any questions for Chad? All right, Fall Creek.
Hey, guys, this is Doug Garlis. Moving along on construction, we're slated for commissioning at the end of March, so cross the fingers, and then, of course, that's plus or minus on getting that facility running, depending on how all the new equipment works. That's it.
All right, thanks, Doug. Any questions for Doug? All right,
go ahead. This is Jeff. April or March?
End of March, Jeff.
End of March, okay, perfect.
Yeah. And you know how that stuff is. Hopefully everything works. There's never gremlins in these facilities, right?
Those guys are way ahead of schedule.
Thinking good thoughts.
Any other questions for Doug at Fall Creek? All right, well, I'm at Dexter. Dan?
Yeah, everything's going well over here. We released our first release out of Dexter at the beginning of February, and then our next release will be at the end of next week, March 1st. Transferred all the Coast Fork fish over and released them, and then this week we transferred all the Chinook back over to South San Yam to acclimate. All next year's fry are ponded except for the summer steelhead. They're getting close, probably in the next week or two, but now that the water's cooling down pretty quick, it's going to take a little bit longer. Other than that, everything's just normal operations.
All right, any questions for Dan? All right, Lieberg, Ryan?
Yeah, sure. Pretty short and sweet. So we are wrapping up trout stocking out of Lieberg. And then we continue to have the the Cascade coho on site, and those should go out the first couple weeks of March. So that coho transfer will take place, and that'll quickly start to wind down fish production at Lieberg. Notice of intent to lease is very helpful from a staffing perspective until a lease agreement is secured and funding is secured. We are looking at beginning the layoff process for affected employees at Lieberg, pending the outcome of those other discussions. So
Ryan, has there been discussion, any sort of contingency, like if there was delay in the lease, what might happen or what might that might look like? Have you heard anything on that?
No, I did bring that up with Andy maybe a couple of months ago. I think it's definitely worth having that conversation. And while it's only February now, as we all know, June will be here in a wink. Without a lease in place, it would be challenging for us to be there July 1st. So,
right. Okay.
I don't know what the timeline is. I don't know what the timeline is for the Coors Realty folks, but we're certainly hopeful to see that sooner than later.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier, you'd follow up on that. That'd be helpful.
Yeah, I'll follow up on that, and then also I'll mention to Andy and folks any sort of contingency if it's a possibility that might help us along. So.
Okay. Yep, sounds good. I'm open to ideas.
All right. Last item is fish counts. It has sharp there. I know Cam's doing something else these days. I don't know who's going to update on that item, or if we just want to skip it, or if anyone knows what's going on. All right. We'll skip.
I'll admit that I know, I believe we're taking counts, but I'm probably not the person to speak to that. I don't, do you know,
right,
Jeff, what the status of that is?
No, I'm assuming that Mike's still gathering the tape stuff. I'm not sure who's, if anybody. I know I get a weekly count from Bart for Bennett, so. Right.
Right, and myself, I just wasn't sure about funding and what the future looked like for fish counts, and I don't have a good feel for that, and I didn't know if anyone else had heard from Andy or anyone else more than
no. We have no funds right now. People are talking about the district is responsible for it, and we don't have any time for it. So
okay, good to know. All right.
I think we're all waiting on your magic funding wand, Chris, to fix these problems.
Right. I thought I had heard, and I don't go to the Arm and E meetings. I thought I'd heard there was a possibility of funding through that venue, but don't quote me on that, and I don't know how solid or how accurate that is, but I thought there was some sort of discussion about that, and I thought maybe folks that do attend that, I don't know if anyone on the call does, knew more than I did, so.
The funding through where?
I thought there was some sort of study that relied on fish counts, and they were thinking about possibly funding those fish counts.
Oh, we had talked to maybe taking and you probably know more about this than I do, Doug, but your crews are going up and down the highway there every day, and we talked about having that crew maybe doing the out of the Corps office doing the both the fish counts and maybe doing some trapping in the ladder. But that's just been discussion is all. There's nothing that I've heard concrete out of that.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to discuss this further sooner rather than later. I definitely don't know what's going on, and I'm not sure. I haven't talked to Andy about it specifically, so I don't know where we're at with that. Anyway, any more thoughts on that?
Well, Chris, this is Ryan. I thought, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought at the WFPOM meeting last month, the discussion was that Army Corps was looking to put together an M&E contract.
Right.
Standalone?
Right. So that was for spawning surveys. It doesn't mean it couldn't include fish counts. That's why I think we need to discuss this sooner rather than later, so that it's something I think is important. If it's something that we think is important enough and we can find the funding, we need to make sure it doesn't get dropped just for the mere fact that someone dropped the ball, and I wouldn't want it to be myself or someone else. So I think we need to talk about it soon.
Agreed.
So if we don't talk about it before our next HMT, we'll definitely put it on the agenda for next month. All right.
Good.
The last.
Sorry, Chris, are you saying that you're putting that on the Willamette F-bomb agenda or leaving it on here?
That's a good question. What's most appropriate? Probably HMT. Well, we'll put it on the HMT because it will actually meet. Well, I'll try to put it on. Well, next week is pretty. It's next week. I'm trying to think of what we would need to do to be prepared for that discussion. If not at WFPOM, then at HMT next month. WFPOM's next week. So I guess we'll find out when I make the agenda this week.
All right, okay,
last item. Web Valley contract status. This was reported at Wolf Farm as well. And I'm just reading the agenda that there's an option year mod that needs to be awarded by September 1 of this year. So there's some time for that. The second contract for trout. So currently they awarded the base amount for 100,000 pounds, and that's for the 2019 deliveries. We have until July 1st, I believe, to award the remaining options. In conjunction or at the same time with that, there's development of a scope for monitoring evaluation activities. And currently, the program manager is working on funding for those items. And at this point, there's a shortfall, so there might be some sort of trade-off. But the program manager's trying to figure out where funding's at, trying to figure out how much the M&E contract's going to cost, and that'll kind of dictate what gets funded. And I'm sure there will be further discussion in the near future about both the Trout contract and the M&E contract. Any questions on those items?
Yeah, Chris, I was on the $100,000 that's been awarded. Was there, and I'm afraid I know the answer to this, but was there any delivery numbers associated with that?
Yeah, there were delivery numbers associated with that. So that $100K is related to the original schedule, but once we start working the 2019 schedule that you sent, Jeff, that will be the mod for all the 2019 delivery. So it'll be similar to 2018, I'm guessing, depending on funding, where we take what you sent and we try to shape it within our contract constraints as to what the deliveries look like. So yeah, we'll be modeling. Go ahead.
No number of deliveries associated with the $100,000.
Right. Yeah. So in the contract, there's no number of deliveries. It's similar to 2018, where there's a month, there's a poundage, there's a quantity, and a schedule will be put together. Hopefully, we'll be a little more ahead of the game for 2019 since we have your schedule now. I just need to start working that sooner rather than later.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Chris, this is Ryan. Quick question or maybe a comment on 3.1 for the Willamette Valley hatcheries. So, as you know, one of the requirements of that contract is a small business subcontracting plan, and I'll admit it is taking ODFW some time, a number of months, to get things in order, to get a plan together to meet our plan, if that makes sense. And so what we plan to do is award fish feed price agreements to a small business to help meet our small business subcontracting plan. What that will require is a modification to our budget to accommodate the increased feed prices. So what we're looking at is a 12% increase in feed prices in able to meet those small business goals. So I think that's something we should talk about and kind of have on the radar, that, you know, within those, that isn't something that we built into the bid or into the budget. We went off of what the current feed prices were at the time. You know, so we're looking at a 12% increase in all feed costs across the four hatcheries. You know, I can do some quick math, but we're not talking about millions of dollars, but we're probably talking about, you know, tens of thousands of dollars across the various contracts.
Okay. What I would suggest is put together a short message or email, a paragraph or two, stating what you just said, with kind of what you're trying to achieve with that small business goal, and then kind of the justification that mentions the feed increase, and we'll take it from there and see where it goes.
Okay.
Any other questions regarding contracts? Any other questions regarding anything else we need to talk about today?
Hey guys, this is Doug. I wanted to clarify to the group about Fall Creek Adult Fish Facility Commissioning. I was in there looking at the engineer's schedule, and commissioning is going to start at the end of March. They are projecting potentially it running to mid-April. So Jeff had asked that it sounded like it was pretty fast. I just want to make sure that he and everyone knew that was the plan as of my last update.
All right, thanks, Doug. Any other thoughts or questions before we take off for the day, or at least in the meeting?
Yeah, Chris, this is Ryan. Just one more quick comment. We had on prior meetings, I don't know if we talked about it at the November, or excuse me, December meeting, but we had hatchery deferred maintenance as an agenda item. I know I sent to Andy, I think I copied you, a list of deferred maintenance items for the four Willamette Valley hatcheries. So maybe if we could queue that up as an agenda item for our next meeting.
Sure. Yeah, we can do that. And I do recall receiving that for Willamette Hatchery, and then I also received it for Cole as well.
Okay.
But yeah, so note taken. We will put that on the next HMT agenda for March.
Thanks.
All right, any other last thoughts? All right, thanks everybody.